I'm delighted to be joined by one of our very, very close, very good friends. Not too close, but close enough. Maybe touching distance. One of our very close friends here on World Football Daily, Mr. Juan Arango from the Mad About Football Boys, joining us on the line. Juan, how are you doing on this fine Thursday day?
What up, Oliver? What's going on, man?
Hey, you're sounding pretty happy and relaxed there, mate. You're sounding pretty happy and relaxed. I take it you've been enjoying the football.
I've been enjoying football, no doubt, man. I got Copa Lib going on. You know, that's been one hell of a tournament so far. I could probably even say it's been more exciting than the Champions League so far. In the knockout stage, the Copa Lib group stage right now, there's been so many surprises, so many teams that have just come out of nowhere to really start emerging. And of course, Cholos keeps on impressing everybody and really receiving plaudits from all over.
Well, let's start with the Copa Libertadores then. We will get into a little bit of Champions League football and the drab dullness that was yesterday evening's football, that's for sure. Might touch on a little bit of Manchester United as well with you, because I think you have some controversial thoughts on that, but we'll touch down.
Oh, come on, why you gotta make it controversial? It's not controversial.
Hey, I'm just building up the tension for when it all comes out, man. All right. Don't worry.
All right. Cool.
Let's start with the Copa Libertadores, and let's start with the game that's taking place this evening. That's kind of standing out, at least in my small European eye, on all things South American football. Boca Juniors against Nacional. Boca, who haven't started well, of course, only won one of their first two games. Still early in the tournament for them, though. But it was the loss that kind of. Not many people expecting when you look at this group and thinking that Boca should be getting through this reasonably easily.
Boca are sucking ass right now.
Is that putting it bluntly though?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually putting it lightly, but they are. I mean, they just have no clue what they're doing in the back. I mean, there was a misconception, I believe, by many people in the Argentine media, as well as with Boca fans, thinking that the two remedies that Boca needed in order to turn their things around was to get a coach like Carlos Bianchi, and things just magically happened, and then bring Juan Román Riquelme back. And of course, all of those theories have proven wrong as of right now. I'm not saying Bianchi's doing a bad job. He's just doing what he can with what he has. Leandro Somoza is pretty much on the way out. Boca don't have a right back. Boca have a left back that can't play defense. The two central defenders look nervous at best on many occasions. The only saving grace that Boca has right now is their goalkeeper, Agustin Orion. That's pretty much it right now. A couple of moments of brilliance by Burrito Martinez, but outside of that, Boca really are not clicking and clicking, and they haven't been clicking for a while. It's not just something that's going on now. The only thing that kind of covered up Boca's shortcomings were the fact that they were winning, that they were competing. Of course, they were in the final of the Argentine Super. They were in this Argentine Super Cup. They were in the final of Copa Lib. They won the Copa Argentina, and then they were in the top spots in the past few tournaments. Now, that being said, you've seen Boca, and it was just a team that had no life, that had no soul, that had no fight, that had very listless performances in the most crucial of times. And they're facing a Nacional side in crisis, as Chavo Diaz was sacked during the weekend. They're going to be coming in with Juan Carlos Blanco, who's going to be taking over as interim basis. And there's rumors about Matias Almeida taking over at Nacional. And we'll see what happens there. But Nacional have a very solid side, although they've been struggling. And, of course, with Chavo Diaz at the helm, it was really a very controversial set of circumstances, because he was not one of those coaches being looked at. He wasn't part of that Nacional family. So immediately, as soon as things didn't go well, they really started pounding the criticism in his direction.
You've got two players on it, one on either side here. As you mentioned, Riquelme, and of course, on the other side for Nacional, you've got Recoba, the great Uruguayan legend. I mean, these two players that in their heyday, fantastic, but now, can you see them making, either one of them making an imprint on this game, maybe a flashback to, you know, 10 years ago?
Well, Recoba's been doing it since he got to Nacional. I mean, he's been absolutely sensational. Him, and let's not forget, there's another player in Nacional, Sebastián Abreu, that has really been tearing it up. But two guys at Nacional, young players, I'm talking about young players to be keeping an eye on, well, many have already been looking at, is Gonzalo Bueno, a very good young player, part of the Uruguayan under-20 team that's going to be heading to Turkey. Very interesting prospect, only 20 years old. Also, Renato Cesar plays pretty much as a left wing for Nacional. He's 19 years old, and that's the beauty of watching Uruguayan football. You see all these youngsters, 18, 19, 20 years old, really playing with a lot of poise and maturity. So not just Álvaro Recoba, which, I mean, that guy just still has that magical left foot. You just see that his mental speed is faster than anyone's full-fledged sprint, you know, about 50 yards. So, I mean, he's awesome. Riquelme still has a lot of rust. And I think the jury's still out on him because his performances in the past 4 years have been that of an ex-football player who on occasion had some moments of brilliance. But I at least for me, the jury's still out on him.
You're talking about Boca struggling and really the Argentinian side struggling at the moment in general in Copa Libertadores. We've been talking about the powerhouse of Brazilian football and how Tim Vickery was telling us how he thinks the financial aspect of the Brazilian league will lead to dominance in Copa Libertadores. What about the Argentinian league, though? Is this just a slight blip for Argentinian football in terms of their appearances in Copa Libertadores so far this season?
I mean, I heard Tim's comments, and he's absolutely right. The financial aspect of it all is going to help Brazilian football, just as the lack of economic resources right now for Argentine leagues, Argentine league teams is going to suffer. I mean, they're both the antithesis of one another right now. Although, if you look at what happened yesterday, Tigre, in the final minutes, was able to beat Palmeiras in Buenos Aires, in the outside of Buenos Aires, should I say, 1-0. But also, Palmeiras have had some financial troubles. There's been some financial troubles at other clubs in Brazil. I mean, not all is fine and dandy. I mean, if you look at it from a footballing perspective as well as an economic perspective, Brazil's economic growth is not the same that it was the past couple of years. So you start seeing that, and now it all depends on financial and institutional stability, which you're seeing in teams such as Corinthians, Santos, and many others within Brazilian football.
Let's look at Brazilian football then and look at what happened last night, Juan. Corinthians, last year's winners of Copa Lib, taking on TJ in Mexico. And TJ coming up with the big win. Many expecting this one?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, if you're a follower of Mexican football and you're watching what Cholos have been able to do under Antonio Mohamed, it's a typical Cholos performance, very pragmatic, very unlike Antonio Mohamed during his playing days, who was more of a player that had a lot of flash, that had a lot of flair, that it was really exuberant and eccentric in his style of play and his look as well. If you see some pictures in Google, you'll understand what I'm saying. But this is a very team that there's a very compact team, and you can look at it as a very important mirror image of Corinthians. Mohamed came out before the match yesterday and said, you know what, this is a very atypical Brazilian team. They defend like Italians, but they attack like Brazilians. And he had lots of praise towards Corinthians as far as how they were able to build that team, how Chichi has been able to build that team from the back up. And he said that the only way we could do it is to pressure, to be able to put the pressure on Paulinho as well as Ralph and be able to fight and bite and take the ball away. And eventually it was that. And the defense, a great job, despite people saying, oh, you know, the artificial turf is going to make a difference. It really didn't for Corinthians, but it was Cholo's tactics and the way they were able to space themselves and work off the ball and work, you know, pressuring the ball. That was the big difference in that match. They pretty much out-Corinthians in that encounter.
When you've said that this has been a hectic kind of Copa Lib so far and very unpredictable, is there anybody who's the cream is starting to rise to the top, so to speak, that is starting to shine out as a potential strong candidate for winning this tournament?
Right now, you'd have to start looking at Atlético Mineiro, Ronaldinho and the gang. Bernard really is after his breakout season in the Brasileirão last year, you're starting to see him start to emerge in the international scene a little bit more and start to see him become a more dominant presence for Mineiro. You start seeing guys like Joe, remember him from Manchester City, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. He's really been bringing it up. Javier, stuff like that, players of that ilk. Grêmio also really surprising, and of course many people in England must be will start quivering when I start saying that Andre Santos looked like a world beater alongside Zé Roberto. And I'm serious. Andre Santos is looking tremendous with Grêmio right now. I think the change of venue has done him a great deal of good, and you see him playing a lot looser, and he's able to play his game, and no longer he feels like the scapegoat many times, because many times at Arsenal, he was being looked at as a player that, you know, it was his fault that, that Arsenal lost. And at Arsenal, we know that it's more than just him. It was a sum of the pieces that really weren't coming together. But Gremio doing a great job. There's a team in Peru that's just been in existence 3 years that have been able to really get some surprising results with a team called Real Garcilaso, who play over in Cusco. Really an interesting story that's been developing there because, of course, they were the third fiddle in the Cusco footballing pyramid, and now they're really coming out to the forefront. There's quite a few teams, but now you're going to start seeing the cream rise at the top, especially when you start seeing spots come and really get on the line, but also include on that list Cholos because they look super, super solid with 9 points.
Atletico Mineiro playing this evening against Bolivia's The Strongest. I mean, that is one of the best footballing team name, surely. The Strongest. Fantastic, yeah. Indeed. Juan, let's have a look. We've been to South America. Let's have a little look at Europe last night. And you were saying that the Copa Lib has been more entertaining than the Champions League. No more so than last night. Have you caught any of the PSG Valencia game? Have you even bothered wasting your time with that or with the Juventus Celtic match?
Look, Juventus-Celtic, we knew that it was a pretty much a foregone conclusion. Celtic were going to put it all out there, and they did their best. But Juve, having players, well, I mean, you got to start out with Andrea Pirlo. He's the one that just pulls the strings. He's the director of that orchestra. And there's a reason why they're the creme de la creme in Italian football. And they proved it again yesterday. And they just cruised. I mean, it was just that simple for them. But also having that 3-goal advantage coming in from Glasgow really is what makes a huge difference in that encounter. But still, the pressure was on them in certain stages. And got to go back to the match against Napoli. And there were times you thought they were going to crumble, but they didn't. So, I mean, that's a testament to what they've been able to do. On the other side, PSG were able to take the advantage of the mistakes that Valencia were able to squander or offer them, and they fully did it. But again, you start seeing this PSG side with and without Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and it's, you know, night and day.
It is, as you say, well, it is night and day. They do really struggle without big Zlatan. When you look at this PSG side in terms of its squad and the potential that it has and how it's underperforming, do you give it a chance at all to go through and really make, possibly even make the final and win this Champions League right now? Because it's very, very open after everything that's happened this week.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, it's a clean slate from this point on, trying to adjust. And you have a coach in Carlo Ancelotti who can get the job done despite all the criticism, despite all the crap that they've given him during his time here at PSG. He's been here before. So, I mean, if there's somebody that can really get it done, it's him. So, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that they can really, if not contenders, they can definitely be spoilers for somebody.
What about what happened on Tuesday as well? Because have Manchester United just missed out here on their best opportunity to bring back the European trophy once again since their last European Cup win?
Man up. Trust me, if at Old Trafford there was two teams that can never, ever, ever complain about getting calls or not getting calls, it's Manchester United and Real Madrid. So, I mean, man up. I mean, it's part of the game. It's part of what happens. The coaches prepare for every single possible scenario. And it was tactics work if they are functioning throughout 90 minutes, not throughout 70, not throughout 71. It happens to work if it's 90 minutes. Now, if there's going to be adjustments and tweaks that need to be made, they have to be prepared for that when the time comes. But it seemed like Manchester United were just so overwhelmed by the foul, by the sending off, that all of a sudden it took them so much time that Real Madrid smelled the blood and the chum in the water, and they went after him and did exactly that. Games are not decided by referees. Games are decided by moments of brilliance. And what happened in that game was Luka Modric's shot pretty much changed the whole entire perspective. It wasn't necessarily 90. Yeah, okay. It kind of messes up a team collectively from a psychological standpoint. But as a team, you have to bounce back. This is the Champions League, man. You got to get back up, pick up the pieces, and move on. You have to do that. But Manchester United failed to do that in that span of time, and they eventually ended up paying for it in a big way.
Do you see any of these remaining sides beating Bayern Munich then, Wen?
Right now, I think Jurgen Klopp said it best, that they're probably one of the teams that could beat them. They're probably one of the only teams in the world that can beat Bayern Munich. I don't know about this year, but as long as we still have 6-7 days, you still have to have Barcelona in the picture somewhat. Milan are sky high right now with the confidence. The big question there is not will Barcelona score on Milan, which they most probably will. The big question is, will Barcelona not let Milan score, which they haven't been able to have a clean sheet in over 13 matches? That's a big question mark. So maybe Milan can do it. I mean, like you said, Oliver, man, it's so wide open. It's not even funny right now.
I don't know, man. I think I'm kind of enjoying the humorous side of seeing some of these teams floundering and desperate to kind of get stability in the Champions League this year, because that's something that we're lacking in both Coppa Lib and in the Champions League, is just consistency and some dominant forces to come about. I'm sure we'll see it in the future. Wan, what have you boys got up for us on the Mad About Football show this week? What have you got planned in digging deep into football with the boys?
Well, this week, I'm going to be talking to Matt Wall of Soccer Pro, talking about some of the new stuff that's coming out. Of course, one of the most popular items that's come out is the U.S. national soccer team jersey that just came out a few days ago. Sensational, man. It looks just gorgeous, man. Makes you just want to buy like 10 of them. That's how awesome that U.S. national team jersey looks. Of course, there's other things that are coming out. Of course, talking about some of the new kits that will be coming out in the very near future, as well as some promotions they'll have going on. We also had none other than Steve and Karen Everett over at Soccer at Sea, a cruise ship company that does cruises based on football and a 5-on-5 football experience that they've joined up with Royal Caribbean. But for more on that, you got to check out the show. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
We'll be definitely listening in. I kind of like the idea of cruising around on a big ship, going to see some fantastic football. Wan, if that's what you guys are.
You're playing football on the cruise ship.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that, man. I go on holiday to drink and relax rather than to get my exercise game on.
You can't drink and play football at the same time? Come on.
Well, let's just say it's been known to get a little bit hectic if that's taking place. Well, that's for sure, man.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you know. I mean, I've seen guys with a beer can running back and forth on, you know, playing at right back and stuff, and I've seen them play just fine. Come on.
Yeah, but those days of Tony Adams and Paul Merson, you know, in those days, they're long gone now, surely, mate. Long gone.
Oh really? I didn't know that. Oops, sorry. I guess I'm behind on the times, I guess.
It's all about fitness. That's why they have all these new boots and pieces of equipment coming out, man. That's why they make them so light, so we can be nimble on our feet rather than plodding around with the beer. But I will be checking in with them.
I thought that was part of the reason why they had to have a lighter, because, of course, you have some extra weight with a beer can or a beer bottle.
We'll have to find. You'll have to ask that. You'll have to ask that on Mad About Football this week, man, and see the reaction.
I'll have to see I have to like set that up as a science project for my daughter, I guess.
Yeah. If you need any volunteers, I'm happy to get involved and see the differences in drinking alcohol and not drinking alcohol whilst playing football.
One of those lightweight. Well, maybe if they have lightweight boots, why not a lightweight beer can? That's now, an idea I could start looking.
Now you're talking.
With your team's insignia on it. There you go.
Now you're talking.
Always thinking.
Definitely outside the box on that one. But you are inside the World Football Daily Box today, man. Thank you so much for joining us today, Wan. It's an absolute pleasure to catch up with you. And we'll be checking back in, I'm sure, in the next week or so with you on a bit of Coppa Lib, on, of course, on the Champions League and pretty much anything else football, man, because you are the ultimate football viewer, I think.
Ah, man, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I bow from the waist down.
Thank you so much, man. Bowing from the beer gut, some might say, man. Bowing from the beer gut.
Corey, well, I have no choice at this point right now.
Take care, man. Have a cracking day, bro.
All right, man. All right. Stay hydrated, man.
Cheers, Wan. Thanks very much. Wan Arango joining us here from the Mad About Football boys on World Football Daily, giving us an insight into, of course, the Copa Libertadores, with games being played this evening. Boca Juniors taking on Nacional, Sao Paulo taking on Arsenal de Sarandi, Atletico Mineiro taking on the strongest, and Correo Porteño taking on Independiente Santa Fe in the Copa Lib action tonight. There is, of course, Europa League action coming up this evening as well. We're going to have a quick look at that later on in the show, and we're going to do that when we return from this very brief break.